Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 13th, 2005. This session is Praying with St. Benedict, presented by Gary Grafwalner, in the Fireside Room. Disc number 2005-01.
Antonio, if you are ready, you can start taping. Today is June 13th. And this is a session that's part of a series on prayer. Today is called Praying the Scriptures with Benedict. And we're a storied people. And as we read the story, God encounters us through the story. And my name is Gary Grafwalner. And I want to welcome you sort of at 5 o'clock. I've never taught a class at 5 o'clock before. If your stomach starts to growl, that's okay. Yeah. I'll understand. I want to begin by just teaching you this song. And it was a theme song for the village a few years ago. And it's one of the ways I pray to open myself to God. And it goes like this. Take, oh take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. And this is the melody. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. So try it with me. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon up what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Now let's pray it and let's do it, say maybe 4 times. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon up what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon up what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. One final time. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Amen. Again, I'm Gary Grafwalner. This is part of a series on prayer. Today is Praying the Scriptures with St. Benedict. We are a storied people, and God's story is a grand, grand story. And my dad was a non-practicing Roman Catholic, and my mother was a practicing Lutheran. And the reason I'm a Christian is because of my mom, who dragged my sister and myself to worship whether we wanted to go or not, and planted the seeds. I've been a parish pastor and priest for 39 years. I'm a husband and a father of 4. And one of the ways I connect with God is through creation. So I hike and bike and kayak and do photography and garden. I'm just finishing a master gardening class. But I also connect with God through the scriptures. And Lutherans are a word-centered tradition. Foster's written this wonderful book where he looks at the major, Ever-Flowing Streams. He looks at the major traditions of Christianity, and he says each one has its strengths and its weaknesses. And since I was trained to be a scientist, I was going to be marine biology, the Lutheran kind of mode fit pretty well for me because it was real left brain. It was analytical, it was cognitive, but I got to a point where all the left brain stuff didn't feed me anymore. And I couldn't find anything within my tradition, so I started rummaging around and I was introduced to Carlos Carleto, who is a little brother of Jesus, who spent 6 months in the desert of the Northern Sahara, and then 6 months working with the poorest of the poor in the inner city. And what he said about God just sort of, it was like standing in front of a 50-foot breaker coming off the Pacific Ocean, you know, it just sort of blew me away. So then I read his second book and his third book and his fourth book, and then I started reading Charles de Foucault, and then I started reading Thomas Merton and Henry Nouwen. And these were people who opened me up to praying in a whole variety of ways that are Christian but weren't part of my tradition. And I want to introduce you to Benedict today because as I've gotten older, the scriptures have been harder for me to hear God through and harder for me to know God through. And the Jesuits taught me to go to my experience, and the creation spirituality people taught me to go to the creation. But I still come back to the scriptures. So I want to give just a little introduction to Benedict and his life. And then I want to introduce you to the Lectio, or the Lectio. Do any of you know anything about the Benedictines at all?
I've read the rule.
You've read the rule. Joan Chittister has taken the rule of St. Benedict that he put together for a monastic community, and she's translated it and applied it to daily life. And there are lots of little nuggets in here. This is in the bookstore, and it's just called The Rule of Benedict, Insights for All the Ages by Joan Chittister. Anybody else know anything about the Benedictines? Do any of you have a Benedictine abbey or seminary near you? Whereabouts?
St. John's in Minnesota.
Collegeville. Yeah. Great, great. One of the strengths of the Benedictines is liturgical renewal. They are the people who renewed the Roman Catholic Church through worship as a result of Vatican I and II. We on the West Coast have a Benedictine abbey in Abbotsford, B.C. They're Swiss Benedictines. They're very conservative and traditional. There is a Benedictine community in Lacey, which is outside of Olympia. And there's Mount Angel, which is a larger Benedictine community just south of Portland. And one of the things I do is sometimes I'll take a retreat once a year for either 4 days or 7 days, either a taught retreat or just my own personal kind of time with God. And when I'm with the Benedictines, I pray the hours. That's one of their gifts. They pray, they adapted the Jewish hours of prayer, and there are services that they have gifted to the church for different times of the day. And so they're up at, well, I'm not sure, 3 or 4 in the morning, and they end in the evening with compline and close of the day. Anyway, Benedict was born in 480 AD in Italy. And he was part of a privileged class, and he went to Rome and he studied the classics. and he was touched by the lives of the martyrs and the saints, and he became a monk. And he gave away basically his inheritance, much to the dismay of his parents and family. But he felt that many of the people his age were lost. They were following the way of the world, which happened to be Rome, say Seattle, New York City, Chicago, Paris, where anything you wanted, you could have. Anything you wanted, you could have. Any experience you wanted. He turned his back on that, and he became a monk, and he went to an area called Subiaco, S-U-B-I-A-C-O. And his goal was to fall in love with God, to go deeper and deeper with God, and to meet God in Christ, to meet God through the scriptures. And at Subiaco, he became a hermit. He lived for 3 years by himself in a cave, and he prayed the Psalms, and he memorized scripture. And when he came out, he was sort of like Moses on Mount Sinai. People knew something was different about him. And they began to ask him about God. And, you know, it wasn't long before he had some people who wanted to be his disciples. And they wanted to make him an abbot. And at first he resisted, but then he agreed. And they said, give us a rule of faith. Give us a plan for which we can grow with God. So he wrote a rule of faith, and they said it was too strict, and they tried to poison him. And he fled, you know. And he went back toward being a solitary. And then eventually he moved to Monte Cassino, which is about 70 miles south of Rome. And that's where he really began to crank out things. He started 12 monasteries, each with its own abbot. He wrote the rule for St. Benedict, which would be sort of like the spiritual exercises for Ignatius, for people who were in community, who wanted to grow in faith. He worked on the divine office. And I think I'm going to just stop there and see if you've got any questions so far. Do any of you know? Okay.
I was just wondering, is the Abbey in Westminster in Mission? Is that the one?
Yeah, I said Abbots BC, Abbotsford, but it's okay. Really Mission.
I wondered if that
just
was
between, okay. Yeah, north okay. Of, yeah. Do any of you know the Spanish monks who popularized Gregorian chant? Those guys are Benedictine. And they're great to listen to and pray with while you're doing the dishes, or folding laundry, or, you know, working in the shop. Hildegard of Bingen was a Benedictine abbess. Name of the Rose by Umberto Eco. It's about the Benedictines. Pillars of the Earth by La Follette is about the Benedictines. Most recently, Kathleen Norris, Presbyterian, has made the Benedictines popular because she's become an oblate. And she wanted to go deeper with God, and while she was in the Dakotas settling a family estate, she happened over to the neighboring abbey. And she said she didn't know why she was there, but she began to pray with the monks and listen and watch, and slowly she was drawn into it. And it changed her life and changed her writing. As a Lutheran pastor, I was trained in critical study of Scripture. So I was taught basically to dissect the scripture, to use the left side of my brain. But I wasn't taught how to hear the scriptures in my heart. I could look at the Greek, could use the Hebrew. Why is this person writing? Who are they writing to? What are they writing about? But no one ever said, and what is the word for you? What is the word for you? And it's Benedict that helped me to do that with the scriptures. And the way I talk about the Lexio is, have you ever rototilled untilled ground with a rototiller? You know, when you make the first pass and you're steering this thing or being dragged by it, you know, it just sort of, it just bounces along the top and, you know, you're hardly doing anything. And then you turn around and you make another pass and, you know, and then it grabs a little bit and it turns over a little soil. And then you come back and it grabs again. And by the third or fourth pass, it's starting to pull stuff up. And it may be old cans, it may be clay, it may be roots, or it may be really rich, rich, deep, loamy soil that you've gotten down to. That's the way the Lexio Divina works for me. It allows me to not just study the scriptures, but to pray over the scriptures and to begin to ask, God, what is your word here for me today? I want to share with you a handout. Let's see. I'm just going to, you want to pass one in the back row. You want to take these and pass these in the front row. And if they're extras, if you just set them on the, are there two for the back? You can pass behind me. Yeah, great. Okay, great. You can set them on the island if you want. The way Benedict drafted the Lexio Divina means literally the divine reading. And there are four major parts. The first part is the lectio, the reading. Beginning with a passage of scripture, not more than 10 verses, you read it over slowly and you attend to words and phrases that draw you to themselves. One person says you look for a hot phrase, or you look for a hot image, something you think, ooh, that's kind of, I like that. And you read the passage at least twice, silently or slowly. And I always read scripture out loud because it stimulates my ear as well as my eye. If I read it with my mind, I can just zone out. But if I'm speaking it, I'm more likely to hear it and experience it. So read it a third time until a phrase or a word draws you and you begin to repeat it with your lips over and over. Then the second part of the Lexio is what's called the meditatio, or the meditation, or the reflection. And this is where you think about the text, where you begin to ask questions about the text, where you chew on it, where you look at it upside down and sideways, and from a woman's perspective, or from Jesus' perspective. You may enter into the text. You may use your imagination. You may become the beggar on the paralytic on the stretcher. You may become Zacchaeus in the tree. You may be the woman who's bent over. What was it like for her? As you repeat this word in the meditatio, you keep seeing if there's any response that's coming from your heart. And this is the third part of the Lexio, which is the orato, the prayer part. And this is where you respond to the word you've heard by praying. So maybe your prayer is, if you're praying about, over the text about the disciples caught in the storm, you remember? And they're all freaking out and Jesus is asleep. You may say, help me God when I'm in a storm to remember that you're there. Help me not to forget you're with me, like Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. if you're praying over the text of the friends who brought the paralytic to Jesus, you may say, God, thank you for the people who have been my teachers, who brought me to you. Or bring somebody to me that can bring me to you. Maybe that's the need you have. So it could be a prayer of thanks, a prayer of need, a prayer of concern. And then the fourth part of Lectio is what's called contemplation. And that is simply wordless prayer where you're quiet, where you rest in God. It comes out of the Eastern tradition. And I tell people, it's sort of like if you've made love with someone, after you've made love and they're holding you and you're holding them and you're just together. You're not talking, you're not doing anything, you're just together. You're delighted to be in each other's arms. That's kind of what contemplation is like. It's being in the presence without having to say anything or do anything. Questions so far? Okay. Let's see. So this is Benedict's Lectio Divina. And I add an earlier step, which is you center yourself. When you come into the presence of the Holy One, you just take some breaths. No, the kids would say, chill out, you shift gears, and you do whatever you need to do to begin to open your mind and your heart to God. Benedict said when we read scripture, one of the things we could do is we could follow the church year. So if you happen to be Lutheran, in the Book of Worship, there are three lessons for every day of the year, for 2 years. And I suggest people start with the gospel and just read the gospel lesson for each day. And he says, read it out loud and read it at least 2 or 3 times until something strikes you. So this morning, for example, I was praying over a scripture or with a scripture, and something struck me, and I thought, that struck me before. So then I read it again, and the same thing struck me. And then I read it a third time, and something new struck me. And I said, well, this is what I will take with me this day as I'm in the village. I will think about this. And Benedict said, keep your Bible open. So if you've got it in your shop, or your kitchen, or your office, as you walk by the counter, or your desk, if you forgot it, changing the diapers and cleaning up the vomit, or doing the wash, or whatever, weeding, you can come back and see it. And then secondly, he says, meditate on it, basically think about it. Ask questions. Chew on it. And then the third is, in response to what you've heard, the word, Luther would say, in response to the living word that you've heard, holy word, holy wisdom, you form a prayer. And it may be thanks. Anne Lamont says her two favorite prayers are thanks, 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 and help, 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 help. Those cover a lot of different situations. And then the fourth is wordless prayer. You're just with Christ in the Spirit. Are you with Abba or are you with Ima in the Spirit? Now I have a book I ordered for you in the bookstore. This is by Macrina Whitaker, and they have the paperback copy, which is about a third the cost of the hardcover. But she's a prayer person. She's a Benedictine. And what she does is, this is a 30-day retreat. This is a four-week retreat that you can do anywhere, You can do it each day at home. And I used it when I was in Guatemala City, and I saw some pretty scary things. And it was great because it just kept me grounded in God and centered in Christ. But what she says is she starts with centering, you know, and then she does her first reading, and then she goes to the fourth one. If this is four, she goes to the contemplation or contemplatio, and she's just kind of there with what she's read. She doesn't say anything, she doesn't particularly think about it, but she just, you know, she's in the presence of God, kind of. In the presence of the living word. And then she goes to what is Benedict's second, which is meditate. That would be his second. And then the prayer response is third. So she reverses the order a little bit. And I found it helpful. I found it helpful. Because I've been taught the way on the left, and she reordered it. You know, it's sort of like she's moved the furniture in the house. All the furniture is there, but you come in and, hey, the piano's in a different place, or the couch is in a different place. And then what some people have suggested is that there be a fifth part to the lectio, which is compassion. When I was here in March, I was talking with someone and they said to me, you know, when people come to Holden and the bus stops out there, what we say is the following, or something like this. Don't feed the animals. There's only smoking on one porch. You cannot have an open flame anywhere else, anytime, except in the worship service, in the village center. If a fire alarm goes off, this is what you should do. Lunch will be served in 5 minutes in that building up there in the dining hall. You'll get an orientation later in the village center. And that's it. And he said, what if when people got off the bus, we said to them, we are so glad that you are here, and we want to transform your life while you're here. Can you imagine? If you got off the bus and someone said to you, you've just gotten in from Chicago or from maybe San Diego or Washington, D.C., and you were kind of tired and bleary-eyed, and maybe the children were crabby, or you had a backache or a headache, and someone said, we are so glad you're here, and we want to transform your life so that when you leave here, you will transform the world. You will transform the world. You will be converted to convert. And that's what the people who have added this fifth piece say. You know that when Moses turned aside to see the burning bush and took off his shoes and received his call, then he was sent back to lead the people out of bondage, to become a liberator. He was called to be God's liberator. And what these people say, and what Benedict believed, but he didn't happen to add this particularly directly to the lectio, is this next step, which is, how can I take the word that I've heard in my head and heart, and the response that I've made to the word, into the world in my daily life, in the office, at the gym, in the classroom, at the bowling team, the baseball game, etc. So I'm going to stop here and just see if you have any questions.
I just think it really makes you think.
Pardon?
When you got to the compassion, it really makes you think about your daily life.
How do we live it out? So as James says, we're not hearers of the word. We're hearers only, but not doers. You know, we take the word to the street, kind of. We incarnate the word we've heard. Yeah. Questions? Observations? Carlos?
How much time does it take you to do this, and when do you do it?
Well, I'm a morning person. Although I'm up late at night, I'm a morning person. And I find that I think three things that have kept me alive as a pastor for 40 years are, one, I really pay attention to my body, and I try and exercise 6 days a week because I just am not crabby when I do that. You know, I feel better and I have more energy. Secondly, every day I start with God. And for each of you, that may be at a different time. It may be at the end of the day, or it may be in the middle of the day. But if I don't do this at the start of the day, I lose touch with God. I just kick into gear, and I may be doing all kinds of good things, but I lose that sense of the presence of God. And Luther said, it's the living word that transforms us. And he was a teacher's teacher. He was probably one of the best that the medieval church had produced. But he was a left-brain person, even though he was very earthy and could be very, very crude at times. So I work out for 2 hours in the morning between, you know, even when I was in the parish, I'd get up really early. And then I do my 45 minutes to my hour of prayer. Probably should have been the other way around. I should have been 2 hours of prayer and scripture or spiritual reading and 1 hour of exercise. But those are keys kind of to keeping me alive. But you can do the Lectio in 15 or 20 minutes. Or you can do it in a half hour or 45 minutes. And it just depends, Macrina says, on how much you want to romance the word. Because it's about falling in love with the beloved. And so if you've got more time or it's really flowing, then you stay there if you can, if the children will leave you or the job will leave you. And if you can't, then you do what you can. But people have been using this for 1,500 plus years, 1,600 plus years almost. And it stood the test of time. And what's great about it is, if you're familiar with the Myers-Briggs, it doesn't make any difference if you're an extrovert or an introvert, or you're a thinker or a feeler, or you're an intuitive person or a sensor, or you're a judger or a perceiver. You can use this method. And it's different than studying the scriptures. It's really listening for the word in, with, and under the words. It's listening for God's voice. Does it? So I do it in the morning, just because it works for me. And if I don't do it in the morning, I sputter all day long. You know, it's sort of like, if I don't eat breakfast in the morning, I'm foraging all day long. But if I have a good meal, that carries me. And sometimes it's wonderful, and sometimes I lap swim 3 days a week, and sometimes it's like, this is kind of, I know this. You know, but I show up. And that's one of the important things about prayer, is showing up. Setting aside a time each day to be with God. Yeah.
You're telling us a little bit how it works for you. It sounds like individually, in your own personal alone time with the Word. I've done a version of this with other people in the group.
For sure.
Can you say a little bit about how that's worked for you?
Yeah.
How you would do that in a group setting of 3 or 4?
Yeah. You could do it in a family with older children, or you could do it in a book study or a home study group. And what I do is I modify it a little bit. And again, I start with the centering. You know, kind of shifting gears, asking for the Spirit to enlighten us. And then read the pre-assigned text, and I have three people read it. And what I do is, and I'd be interested in what you do, what I do is the first time they read it, everyone shares a word that struck them, just a word. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the ground on the path, and the birds of the air came and ate it, and some fell among the thorns, and it grew up, and some fell in shallow soil, and it germinated, and then the sun scorched it because it didn't have root. And some fell on the good soil, and it yielded 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let he who has ears, or let she who has ears, hear. And then you say, okay, what's a word that struck you? So what's a word that struck you? A sower went out to sow, and Jesus tells a story. A word that struck you?
Thorns. Scorched.
Scorched.
Soil.
Hear.
Sower. Hear.
Hundredfold.
Okay. So that's the first reading. The second reading, I ask them to share a phrase. A phrase.
Went out to sow.
Another phrase.
The birds of the air.
Another phrase.
He who has ears to hear.
Okay. So what we're doing is we're beginning to hear what other people are hearing. And then on the third reading, I ask people to pray a prayer in response to what they've heard. And so there has to be a certain level of trust, and people are always free to pass. But it's amazing, even a short prayer, what people pray. Someone may say, thank you, God, for all the people who have sowed the word in my life when I was just lost. Or someone else prays, God, compost me. You know, make me fruitful for your glory. You know, and someone else prays, God, help me to hear the word and not forget it. So that's one way I've adapted it. Another way I've adapted it is.
I have a quick question.
Good.
On that, do you read the? Did I hear you right? You read the text three times then?
Yes.
So
first time word, second time phrase, third time prayer. A prayer response to the word. Yeah. And people are amazed at what other people hear. And it's like, I didn't notice that. And then you begin to realize that the Bible is the church's book. And that the scriptures are for all of us, not just for me, although it is for some.
Do you have any discussion among the folks, or do you just let it be?
You know, it depends. And then the fourth part is we're quiet then. After we prayed the prayers, we kind of do the contemplation, the contemplatio. We're with each other. Sometimes what I do is center ourselves, pray for the Spirit, read it once, and I just invite people to share anything they hear God saying. Okay. And then and there's no crosstalk. No one says, so it's a faith sharing kind of thing. No one says, oh yeah, that reminds me of the time. There's none of that. We're really listening to God through the scriptures, and we're listening to God through each other. And then we read it again. And maybe this time, someone who's very shy or very quiet says, well, I heard God saying, and it's like, wow. And people cry. They're moved, you know? And then we read it one more time. But part of what the Roman Catholics have taught me is that when we start discussing, we kick up into the left side of our brain. And we're out of our heart. And then we're intellectualizing. And we can talk a lot about God, and not really listen to God. And what Benedict believed is that studying scripture is one activity, but praying over it and praying into it alone or with others is meeting God in a different way. So if I'm going to do a Bible study, usually it's pretty much left brain. And people are up here, and maybe at the end they get down here for 5 minutes, you know. So I wanna get, and God, women go down much quicker than men do, generally. Not always, but they go down. But men can talk for hours in their head about baseball and football and basketball and soccer and this and that and Malachi and Hosea. But it's like, what's the word for you? What's the word for you? What's the word you've heard? You can do it, I'm sure. I usually have not blended them. Mm-hmm. Have you?
No, the only discussion would be, we did those, that same pattern, basically, okay. And then the last part, when we talked about what you call the compassion part,
right.
Talked about basically what is God calling you to this day?
Right, right.
And so it was more of a discernment question. Uh-huh. If there was a, I'm thinking about that I need to go and speak with this person that I've wronged, and I'm really not sure what to do about that, then it was kind of an invitation,
right.
To say, well, what are your possibilities there? And so we would talk about it that way.
Almost like a Curcio group.
Yeah, we were talking about, mm-hmm. Well, but what is the soil? You know, is yeah. It our heart? Is it the mm-hmm. world? That the, we didn't get into that.
Yeah.
It was more of the helping one another discern
yeah.
And go a little deeper into that compassionate response that the word was calling us to. And I did feel, it was fun actually, because on Tuesdays for three years I had this pattern. On Tuesdays I was able to be with a traditional Bible study group, and then on Wednesday mornings was with the Lexio Divina group,
okay.
On the same text.
Huh. Very different, huh?
Yeah, and it was
yeah.
The in the one group we were using the text to do a job, because it was all pastors,
right.
And we were all preparing for right. Sermon preaching on the next Sunday.
Right.
And on Wednesday, it was the Word feeding us, really, truly. That how was it for us as Mike Wilker? And it was much more personal and nurturing. I was really stimulated by the other conversation, mm-hmm, too, mm-hmm. On Tuesday mornings. And I'm glad for both. But the one, I was able to just shed a lot of my professional responsibilities as a pastor and just hear the word
nice.
For me.
Nice. 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 Yeah. And it's great if you can do both. Mm-hmm. And one feeds some people more than the other. But I remember Herb Zorn, who was a pastor developer, and he'd say whenever he started a group, he had five stars for any house group, and he said, if you're going to start a house group in the parish I'm serving, this is what you have to do. You have to study together, number one. See if I can remember these. You have to pray together, number two. You have to share your lives together, number three. So that means helping someone move, spelling them if they're exhausted from caring for a challenged adult parent. Number four, you have to tell the story of Jesus somewhere. You have to tell your faith story. And five, you need to work for peace and justice in the world. Because he said when people get together only to study and pray, and they forget, you know, like, well, where is this word calling me to be in the world? And then I come back and I say, this is how it went, or this is how it failed. It doesn't happen. And he said, in my experience, 40-some years as a pastor, he said, this is what Bible studies miss, and what koinonia groups and home study groups miss, and women's study groups. And he said, you just need to build those questions in. So I like the idea of adding to the Lexio this compassion piece, whether you use Macrina's model or whether you use St. Benedict's model. What I'd like to do is take just a couple minutes and have you take your Bible. And I would like you to turn to Mark chapter 4. And verses, well, it'll be 24b, so that's in the middle of verse 24 to 34. So 24 through 34, basically. And what I'd like to do is just experiment with you a little bit and try the Lectio for just a few minutes and just see how it goes.
Repeat the whole chapter and verse.
Mark 4. I'm sorry, it's Mark 5. Mark 5. I have trifocals I still struggle with. Mark 5, 24b, and a great crowd followed him through 34. Okay? So let's just take a minute for silence, and then I need a reader number one and a reader number two. Who would be a reader number one? Okay. And who would be a reader number, how about a female for reader number two? Great, okay. So let's just take a minute for quiet. And we're listening for the word. And we're asking the Spirit to grace us. This is a part of Jesus' story from Mark. And you can listen and close your eyes, or you can read along.
And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
So as you heard the word, was there a word that struck you that you can share?
No better.
Endured.
Touch.
Healed.
Let's do the second reading, please.
And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
So now, if you would, I'd invite you to share a phrase that struck you.
Spent everything she had. 12 years.
Your faith has healed you.
You touched me.
She had heard about Jesus.
Came up behind him.
Felt in her body.
How can you say, "Who touched me?" Would you mind reading for the last one?
Me?
Yeah, would you please? Great.
And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
Now, if it seems comfortable for you, I invite you to just offer a sentence prayer in terms of your own personal response to the word you've heard.
Lord, heal me.
Lord, thank you that when we come to you in fear and trembling, your response is compassion.
Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to touch you and gain some of the power that supports my faith, even though it's weak.
to come to you and to be willing to share the whole truth of what has happened to me.
Help us see and hear the people who come up behind.
How did it go for you?
Helps a lot to do it three times.
Isn't it? It's like the rototiller.
I can't hear words very well. I mean, I can hear them, but they don't go into my brain. So if I read, this time I read it twice, but then the last time I tried more to just listen and get my eyes out of that part of it, and it kind of helped out there.
Anybody else?
I like that freedom to just receive what is to be received, you know, like the right brain thing, mm-hmm. rather than trying to get it correct mm-hmm. intellectually. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm.
I wish there were some way I could pray alone, but here are three different people's voices reading alone. Because I think mm-hmm. you hear it differently with mm-hmm. different people's voices.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love mm-hmm. listening to each of you read.
Yeah.
Your inflection and mm-hmm. emphasis.
What I thought of what my mother, our mother, is losing her sight, and I got her the New Testament and Psalms on audio. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking that would be one way, you know, if you could, you know, find, you know, that spot and listen to it on mm-hmm. audio mm-hmm. as part of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let the word get down in there. You know, break the soil. Macrina says, break the soil open. Give the seed a chance, you know. It'd be interesting now if we had time to have a prayerful conversation where no one dominated, and to just do some faith sharing, try and stay out of our head, and ask the question, did anyone say anything that struck you that you'd like to respond back to them on? Like, Mike saying, God, help us to be open to the people who come up behind the church, or who are behind us, who are on the edges, who just feel like they don't fit. Or Laura saying, you know, I really like to be able to receive, not just analyze it, but to be open. So how do we receive? What helps us to receive? How do we notice the people on the edges? You know, that could be a really fruitful conversation, and then we go up to the dining hall, see, and we're saying, you know, is anybody going to be behind me? Maybe I should turn around and look at who's behind me. Or, you know, if I've been doing all the talking, maybe I should just be quiet for 40 minutes and just listen and see what comes to me. So I'm a gardener. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. This is one tool for the faith and for mining the word. And we'll do some more in the next couple days. But thank you for coming at this holy, challenging time. Peace be with you.
Awesome. Thank you.